Do you feel like life is demanding more than you have to give? Well, you're not alone, friend, but God wants to meet you at your point of need and be strong in your weakness. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we study power for life. Stay with us. Do or where do you turn when life becomes overwhelming? A lot of people turn to painkillers, drugs, alcohol, escapism. But Jesus Christ wants you to turn to Him, and He offers you the Holy Spirit, a comforter, an indwelling presence of God that gives you power for life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California and features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, you can join us here or you can join us online at dailyintheword.org. Listen online to recent programs or subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take Daily in the Word with you via your phone or iPod or computer. Listen to it at your convenience. Today, we're studying power for life. I do want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. There are two resources we want to highlight to you as we study this series. The first is a book by Dr. Chappell entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, a very close inspection and rediscovery of the Holy Spirit of God and His ministry in your life. If you'd like to take this series and go deeper, you're going to enjoy Living Beyond Your Capacity. Also, a new book by Dr. Chappell entitled The Burden Bearer, how you can give your burden to the true burden bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. A creative book, an allegory that will touch your heart and challenge and change your perspective on the burdens you're carrying today. This and much, much more, you can find out all about it at dailyintheword.org. But today, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 16 again as we study the power to guide.
This morning, we see in the Word of God how the Holy Spirit is promised and how Jesus said He wants to be our guide and that He will guide us into the truth. As fathers this morning, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We must be good followers of God if we will be good leaders in our home. We must learn how to be guided and directed by God's Spirit. And one of the things that always convicts me about my need to be a spiritual man, to be a man led of the Spirit, is the simple fact that Jesus Christ Himself was always led of the Spirit. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, Jesus, who is perfect in all of His personality and attributes. Yet the Bible says of Him in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jerusalem and was led returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit. Now, if Jesus was led of the Spirit, if Jesus was guided by the Spirit, how much more do I need to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God? A recent issue of Family Circle magazine posted the results of a survey done with fathers and with questions that they answered. 71% of the fathers said that fatherhood was more demanding than they ever expected. Now, if there's a young dad thinking to themselves, well, you know, I've got it handled, it's not that tough, just wait till your kids become teenagers, amen? There are always seasons in fatherhood that are tougher than we perhaps expected in the first place. 88%, though, said that being a father was more rewarding than they thought it would be. And I think of our four children today, and it's a rewarding experience to see them applying the truth of God's Word and growing in their service for the Lord. 87% said that the rewards of fatherhood meant more to them than their career. They had come to the place in their life where they said, you know, seeing the next generation serve the Lord and do right is more important to me than my career field. By the way, you'll never meet a retired man who wishes he had spent more time with his company, most of those men would say they wish they would have given a little more time with their children. Then there were 89% of those surveyed approved of men taking some time off from their career or some vacation time or whatever the case to spend more time with their children. 90% of the men surveyed said that becoming a father had made them want to be a better man themselves. Being a father challenged them and reminded them that they had a great responsibility in setting the example for those coming behind them. I had a friend years ago who worked in construction. He was a lot of times outside working around landscaping and so forth. And one day he came home and he had gravel and dirt all over himself and he was washing his car. And as he washed his car, he looked over and he saw his four-year-old son standing by the side of the driveway, and he was reaching down in the garden. He got two fists full of dirt and he was rubbing that dirt all over himself. And his dad said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I want to be like you, Dad. I'll be dirty like you." Sometimes it's scary how our children copy the smallest little things from our lives. And dads who were surveyed said, 90% of them said, being a dad made them want to be the best example they possibly could be for their children. A few years ago, James Dobson's ministry, Focus on the Family, decided to do something a little bit novel. They had an idea that they would go into the prisons in their area, and around Mother's Day, they would bring Mother's Day cards, and they would place these cards out on the tables in the prisons, and they would invite the prisoners to come and just write their mom a Mother's Day card. Free card. They had an opportunity to witness to the inmates and so forth, and it was an amazing response. In fact, they said thousands and thousands of inmates came to this invitation. They happily filled out the Mother's Day cards and sent the Mother's Day cards on. It was such a success that they said, you know what, let's do this again at Father's Day. And so Father's Day came. They got all kinds of tables. Thousands of cards were prepared. And amazingly, in two of the prisons, not one man came to fill out a Father's Day card. They said, you know, that's strange. They began to ask, what was the problem? Many hundreds of the inmates said they, in fact, did not even know who their father was. And the rest of them said they didn't really have a relationship with a father to the extent that they would feel led to even know what to write on a Father's Day card. And I say to you that that is a sobering illustration of the importance of a father in the life of his children. And that when that part of a child's life is neglected, the relationship with his father, many times many other aspects of the life are lacking. What a great priority every father should make in leading his home in the ways of the Lord. And yet I say this morning, we cannot lead if we are not willing to follow. You will not be good in your area of authority until you understand that you are under the authority of the leadership of the Spirit of God. And so this morning, God has power to guide, but we must be leadable. We must let Him guide in our lives. Let's learn this morning how to follow the guiding leadership of the Holy Spirit. First of all, notice if you would, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. By way of review, let's remember this morning that every Christian is the recipient of a divine occupant whose name is the Holy Spirit of God. Notice in verse 13 it says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come." Jesus is nearing the time of His crucifixion in John 13. And so He's reminding His disciples that even though He's going to be with the Father, the Spirit of truth is going to come. And He reminds them of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Notice, if you would, the Holy Spirit is promised to each believer. These disciples were being told the Holy Spirit will come. And He did come in Acts chapter 2. He came down on the day of Pentecost and He indwelt every follower of Jesus Christ. John 15 and verse 26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." Friend, everyone who believes on Jesus Christ is in the Spirit of Christ. has the Holy Spirit of God within them. The Bible says you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nearly 30 years ago, this coming December, 30 years will have passed since I stood at the wedding altar at the United Baptist Church in San Jose, California. There at that wedding altar, I made my vows before God and men concerning my commitment to my wife, Terry. And I remember being very nervous. I couldn't remember all the words the pastor was going to say. I just know that at a given moment, he was going to say, I will, and I was going to say, I will, and he's going to say, I do, and I do, and so I willed, and I did, and I did, and it was done, and everything took place, and I made my commitment there, and as soon as I made my vows, as soon as I said my statement, I do, I will, at that moment, I received the gift of a beautiful wife, my life's companion, Terry. I thank the Lord for that. But do you know that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, just as soon as I made my prayer asking Jesus to be my Savior, that at that moment I received a gift, and the gift was the Holy Spirit of God coming into my life. God with me. My body, the Bible says, your body, if you're a Christian, is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells every single believer. And so, the gift of the Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus Christ. Secondly, the gift of the Holy Spirit is permanent in every believer. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in and then leave you and then spend time with you and then leave you. The Holy Spirit of God indwells you permanently. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God seals us and He is with us permanently. John 14 and verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Notice the phrase there, that He may abide with you for how long? Forever the Holy Spirit abides with you. Sometimes you'll meet a good person that talks of the Lord and professes faith in Jesus, and we cannot know their heart, only God knows their heart, but they will talk as if they have lost their salvation and then regained it back, or lost the Holy Spirit, and then He came back again. But when you truly understand the teaching of the Bible, my friend, you do not have to be born again and again and again and again. But you are born again one time, and the Holy Spirit of God never leaves you and never forsakes you. You are sealed until the day of your redemption. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How many of you have been bought with a price? That's the blood of Jesus. That's the price that was paid. And when you were purchased by Jesus, when you accepted Christ, then the Spirit of God dwelt in your life permanently. Thank the Lord for that. The gift of the Holy Spirit. If you are saved this morning, then the Spirit of God has come into your life permanently. But notice secondly now, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Someone says, all right, Pastor Chapel, I've been born again by the Spirit. I believe the Spirit of God is in my life. But I want to be a guided Christian. I want to be a father guided by the Spirit. How does that happen? First of all, notice it, if you would, in the text once again, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Let's read that phrase together. Ready, begin. He will guide you into all truth. One more time. He will guide you. So, the Holy Spirit is not some distant person of the Trinity that's out there, unattainable, unreachable, unknowable, but in fact, He wants to lead and guide you and me into truth. He wants to guide my life in a practical, everyday kind of a way. Now, that's an amazing fact, that God wants to lead my life in everyday situations. And this morning, I want to give every father and every Christian four practical ways that God wants to guide your life. Now, whether you're going to let Him guide your life is up to you. But I can tell you emphatically, He wants to guide your life. And I can tell you how He wants to do it. Notice, if you would, first of all, He wants to guide your life in accordance with the Scripture. In accordance with the Scripture. Notice what the Scripture says once again. He says, He will guide you into the truth. He is even referred to in verse 13 as the Spirit of truth. And so the Holy Spirit will never guide us away from truth. He will always guide us into the truth. The Holy Spirit will always lead us consistently to live according to the Word of God. That's why if someone ever says to you, well, God wants me just to stop going to church, God did not tell them to stop going to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly. God's Holy Spirit will never tell you something opposite of what the Bible says. Are you with me this morning? Someone says, well, God told me to leave my wife. No, your friend at the bar may have told you to leave your wife, but God will never tell you to leave your wife because the Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder, you see. The Holy Spirit will always lead you consistently with the teachings of the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will remind us of what the Bible says. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, as I have said unto you. You'll be out at work this week in a shop somewhere. You'll be out at work maybe in construction or maybe in the hospital or as a police officer. And there will be an opportunity perhaps to hear something that's wrong or say something that's wicked. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what the Sunday school teacher taught last week from the Bible. And suddenly you remember a verse that you learned as a teenager at camp. And suddenly things come to your mind. Why? Because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he lives in you. And if you're a real Christian, he's going to remind you of some things that you would have forgotten without him. He's going to lead you to live your life according to the Word of God. Romans 8, 14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thank God that you as a Christian today have one living within you. He is the proof of your sonship. He reminds you that there is a God in heaven and there is a word that has been revealed, and he wants you to live your life according to that word. Listen, my friend, the Bible is like a roadmap, and the Holy Spirit is like a guide, and he wants to guide you to truthful living. He wants to guide you into integrity and into honoring the Lord in all that you do. This past week, as we were out in Colorado visiting our family, we took one day, and a few miles from the family farm, there's a town called Durango, Colorado. We went up into the area above Durango, and we got onto a raft there to go down the Animas River. And as we got into the raft with our family, just before we got into the raft, the guide had to have a little talk with us. Actually, before that, I had to sign my life away on legal documentation. People have been killed doing this. People have been maimed doing this. We want to be indemnified from any legal recourse. I told the lady, I said, man, you guys have good lawyers here. And then, of course, I signed it and gave it to him. Got in that raft. He said, now, before we start down the river, he said, let's get some things straight. He said, I'm the guide. He said, I've been down this river thousands of times. He said, I know when to turn the raft so that we don't hit the trees that are in the middle of the river or the rocks that are in the middle of the river. And he said, let's practice. And he said, when I say three backwards, you give me three backwards. When I say three forward, you give me three forward. He went through it all. And he said, if you will do what I tell you to do, we'll reach our desired haven safely. We'll not tip over. We'll have a great time. He said, if you don't listen to me, I cannot guarantee that. I'm telling you what, we listened to what he said. We followed his instructions. You'll see on this next slide, there were a few times I thought it was all over, but the shouting, brother. But sure enough, he brought us right through. He brought us to our desired haven, and we got out safely, and no one was hurt. But I had to make a decision. So did our family. And the decision was simple. Are we going to listen to the guide and let the guide be the guide, or are we going to do what we want to do? And that's your decision tomorrow morning. Are you going to get up and say, good morning, Lord? Lord, I want you to lead me today. Spirit of God, I want you to guide me into the truth today. I want to be a Christian man at work today. I want to be honest in my dealings today. I want to be a single adult today. Are you going to let him guide? And when God says three back, are you going to go three back? And when God says three forward, are you going to go three forward? You see, God wants to lead you in accordance to the scriptures and into the truth and away from the error. Notice, secondly, he's going to lead you with compliance to the Savior. If you follow the Holy Spirit, your life will become more like Jesus. You will comply with Jesus. Look at verse 13 once again. It says, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. We get a little glimpse in this portion of Scripture into the interrelatedness of the Godhead. We begin to sense that The Lord communicates with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Lord Jesus, and God the Father shares with the Son, and the Son with the Father, and all persons of the Godhead working for our salvation and working for the leadership that we need in our life. And we see here that Jesus Christ will be sharing with the Holy Spirit, who will give us the word and the mind of Jesus Christ. And we are commanded to live with the mind of Christ, but we cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. What I'm saying to you this morning, if you want the guidance of the Spirit, you must know it will always be according to the word of God. It will always be in compliance to the will of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, it will be to actions of obedience. The guided Christian is going to be reminded and guided toward obedience, not disobedience. The Holy Spirit will always lead you and me to be an obedient Christian. Now, I heard about a teacher that was grading a little boy's paper, and boy, she looked at this work, and she was frankly appalled with the results. I mean, she could not believe how terrible it was. She called the little fellow into class the next day. She said, I failed to see how one person could make so many mistakes. The little boy said, but teacher, it wasn't just one person. My dad helped. How many of you dads are like me? If you don't help with math homework, they're going to get a better grade, right? And so forth. But the fact of the matter is, we don't want our help to be detrimental. We want our help for our children to be a good thing. And God says, I want to help you if you'll let me. I want to guide you to some actions that will help you be a better man. Notice some of those actions we see in the scripture. God says, I want you to study my word. I want you to be a person, 2 Timothy 2:15, that studies to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Boy, I know some people this morning that study basketball. They know how many points Kobe had in his series when they beat the Celtics this past week. They know how many points Ron Artest had. They might even know the name of Ron Artest's psychiatrist. I do not know. I know some people that study golf. They study Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, and they can tell you when they won and when they almost won. There are people that study a lot of things, but the spiritual man has this inner prompting to study this book, to study the Word of God. And like a wise mechanic who knows which tool to pull out for a particular need, the wise man knows which truth to pull out at a particular time. To help his child, to help his Sunday school class, to help his co-worker whose marriage is having difficulty. He knows when to pull it out. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as that same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives an anointing of understanding.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching today in a series entitled Power for Life. Friend, the power to live beyond your capacity begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship, you can enter into that relationship by faith. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's not about religion or tradition or structure. It's not about earning it by being good. It's about entering into it by faith because of the grace and mercy of God. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we encourage you to do so right now. Bow your head and heart, pray a simple prayer of faith, confessing to Jesus Christ that you believe that He is God, that He rose from the dead after dying on the cross for your sins. Invite Him into your life to be your Savior once and for all. Before we close today's edition of Daily in the Word, I do want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find out more about this series. You can listen to recent programs or broadcasts. There are many other resources when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Two books that are companions to this series that Dr. Chappell has written recently. The first is entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. It's a paperback book that studies in depth the ministry and life of the Holy Spirit within you. It's a powerful companion to this series, Power for Life. Also, a new book entitled The Burden Bearer. It's a hardback book written in an allegory form that will rivet you, capture you, captivate you, and then it will challenge you to give your burdens to the burden bearer. Dr. Chappell invites you to join us for the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Again, that's 2014. You'll enjoy 7 days of admiring God's beautiful creation in Alaska, enjoying the fellowship of believers, and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. More information is found at dailyintheword.org, and we hope you'll plan now to join us for a wonderful time together aboard the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.